All right, game two of the series coming up. Logan Webb and Chichi Gonzalez, Giants and Rockies. Giants won yesterday. Very exciting. Opening day, 3-1 over the Rockies. Quick shout out to Greg Wolf, who is on the road back east. And, of course, we know Greg, he moves all the Giants equipment back and forth from Arizona to San Francisco. So, Greg, nice to hear from you today. Time to bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and really one of the leading baseball analysts, I think, in the country. Mark, it's a pleasure to have you on today. How are you?
It's a pleasure to be buttered up in such a nice way by you, Marty. Thank you.
It's true. Your stuff is fabulous. So people should know if they want to email you, mark@sportsinfosolutions.com. Before we jump into some of our subjects, what did you think of Conforto and the Mets the other day? I know you're a Met historian.
Yeah, that one didn't sit too great with me. It just struck me as, and I realized there's nothing really he can do about it. Like, he's not going to say, oh, we kind of cheated there and we kind of got a call that we shouldn't have got. The umpire was wrong. He was given the chance to fix it and he didn't fix it. And then after the fact, he realized, oh, I was completely incorrect. It's a crummy way to end a baseball game, and I'm sure that the Marlins are mad and still mad as I watched them go up against Jacob deGrom today.
Well, Conforto got hit with the bases loaded and it looked like he stuck his elbow out to get hit by the pitch. And a famous baseball incident in 1968, yeah. Dick Dietz of the San Francisco Giants was not awarded first base by Harry Wendelstadt, bases loaded, against Don Drysdale, and he went on to retire the side, and Drysdale went on to break Walter Johnson's consecutive scoreless game inning record, and this one reminded everyone of that. So, all right, glad to get your thoughts on it. Johnny Cueto, my goodness, yesterday, this is vintage Cueto. You go back to 2008 when he broke in the World Series game. This was a good game by Cueto.
Yeah, it really was. It was refreshing to see him do what he did. The changeup was like the Johnny Cueto changeup that I think you thought that you were getting when you signed the guy a few years ago, and the changeup that was vintage in his time with the Reds. And the cutter was good. The slider was good. In fact, he didn't allow a hit with any of those three pitches, and they got him 19 outs. And I think more like that is what you're hoping for. I don't know that that's necessarily likely, but very much more like that. That game was a pleasure to watch.
Boy, excellent. Gomber on the other side, I thought, did quite well for the Rockies.
Yeah, he had the 7 walks in his first start, and they were talking that up on the TV broadcast. But you, at least from the first 3-4 innings, you never would have known that he'd walked 7 previously. The big curveball, he's one of the guys that they got for Arenado. They have expectations for him. Colorado has a ways to go. I think evident in that who they're starting today. Colorado's got a long uphill climb ahead of it, but hopefully for Giants fans' sake, they can take advantage of it today.
Well, they're a different team on the road, I'll tell you that, which brings me to our next question. That is offense in baseball. And I know you put something out on Twitter today with the slash lines of the National League Central. But you've got 10 teams hitting below 210, striking out at least 9.5 times per 9 innings. These are unprecedented numbers.
Yeah, it's we're off to a slow start here. The Giants are hitting 198, but there are actually 4 teams that are worse than that. I think what sums it up is that they can't, as good as the fastball stuff is, and the fastball kind of, I guess, sets everything else up, they can't hit a breaking pitch at all. You would typically expect a team to hit low 200s against sliders, curveballs, those kinds of pitches. The Giants are 5-for-54 in their 54 at-bats that ended with a slider. They're getting wiped out by the pitch. I mentioned the thing on Twitter. The Reds are better. You could add the other 4 teams that combined, and their offense isn't what the Reds' offense is. The Central is kind of messy in that respect, but it's not just them. I think we've reached a point where it's becoming too easy for pitchers. I love 1-0. I love 2-1. This is getting to be a little bit overkill on that side, though.
Should we take the Reds seriously?
Should we? So that's I dimmed before the year started. I think I put them at like 72, 73 wins. My primary concerns with them were that the starting pitching would not hold up over 162 games. And I think that I feel like that could still be the case. They're strong at the top if they have Castillo and Gray healthy. Castillo wasn't even good in his first start. But I was concerned about the back end of their rotation. They're showing that they can hit it a little bit, but that some of their new guys can play. I don't know that they're going to be able to keep going at that level. I still think that the Cardinals and Brewers are better teams, and I think that that will play itself out over 162.
Well, I know you appreciate pitching. Mark Simon with us of Sports Info Solutions. Tyler Malley last night, 4 innings, no hits. Boy, that sounds good. And he was gone because he threw 92 pitches. How do you do that?
Yeah. Welcome to baseball 2021, where it takes these guys, like Blake Snell, first start, didn't even make it through the fifth inning, and he was pitching a shutout. That was when I actually looked up. Blake Snell, who got pulled from the World Series game, got hooked in the fifth inning with a shutout in the team's second game of the season. There was one instance in like the last 120 years where within the first two games of a season, a guy was able to get into the fifth inning, but they took him out in the fifth inning with a chance to get a win because I guess his pitch count had been high. I just thought that was funny. That's like a never happens. But yeah, this is what's happening. But that performance by Malley certainly was outdone by the no hits over 9 innings by Musgrove last night.
Fabulous. And this was the last deal they made. And I said in spring training, Bill and I talked about it, that this was the guy who I thought had the biggest potential. He was young. He had a strong arm. And you mentioned Snell. I'm starting to wonder about Snell. I really am. I'm starting to wonder if he can ever pitch into the seventh or eighth inning. Darvish threw a million breaking pitches. He had the fastball go for a home run, and that's the last fastball he threw. And then you have this kid who's a traditional pitcher who was terrific last night. First no-hitter in San Diego Padre history, 8,000 games, and he was as strong at the end as he was in the beginning.
Yeah, and there were no real scares in the game at any point. I was listening. I actually listened to it on the radio the last 3 innings because I thought it would be a cooler experience that way. And they were saying that he had this hiccup in the 6th inning. What was the hiccup? He only struck out 2. He was really good. His slider was really good. He throws like 4 or 5 pitches. This start was the least he had ever thrown his fastball in a start because he's throwing a cutter more now. So between the fastball, the cutter, the slider, it was like he was throwing everything the same amount. Slider was wiping guys out. And now he's on this tear where it's like 30 innings and he's given up 0. He's been fantastic. And it's a great get for him because he's kind of an under-the-radar get. He essentially replaces Clevinger, who's out for the year recovering from Tommy John.
What do you think about what I said about Darvish and Alex Sanchez? I mean, 90% breaking stuff for both
of
them?
Yeah, so Darvish can do that. Like, Darvish can have, because Darvish throws, like, 10 pitches, he can do that. He's what him, the other guy that I remember being talked about a few years ago of the same variety was Ubaldo. That good luck trying to chart them because it's impossible to tell what's what. And they've got like 3 different brands of splitter. And guys like that are unique. Guys like that are impressive for the most part. Darvish certainly has been. I guess that's something to take note of with him. And Sanchez, like everyone on the Giant rotation, first time through, I think you could find something to feel, you know, decent about. And I think with him, he got through 5 innings, gave up only 1 run comparatively to what he'd been doing when he was last pitching. I think that's pretty good. I want to see it. I think you got to see it over the long term. I'll keep saying this. You got to see it over the long term to see if it really works for him.
Yeah, Aaron Sanchez, I think I called him Alex. Some positives for the Giants. Solano, a little bit of a hiccup now, a little slump now, but Posey, Longoria, and Jake McGee, the man of 8 pitches, comes in and says, let's go home.
Isn't it nice to have a closer that it's just like dart, 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 dart? He reminds me a little bit, at least the fastball reminds me, of Randy Myers, if you remember him, the Met, mm-hmm. Red I guess, Cub, the way that he just comes in, and that if he's right, it's 10 pitches and good night. Myers had a slider too, Jake McGee's 95% fastball. But I like Jake McGee a lot. He's someone that I've always felt could be an impact closer because he still throws at his age, 96, 97, and gets out. Solano's hitting line drives all over the place, best line drive hitter in baseball the last 3 years. Posey passed Bo Jackson on the all-time home run list. That was my favorite thing about him from the first couple of games. And Longoria has three opposite field home runs, the most he's had in a season, I think, since 2013. Keep hitting the ball. The opposite field power is usually a really good measure of whether a guy is, like, kind of right. And if he's right, that's great. That's 25 to 30 home runs this year for the Giants. You get the guy that you saw from when they got him. He finally gets to that level. Maybe it's this year.
Well, we got another minute and a half or so. Logan Webb and Chichi Gonzalez, what do you see today?
So Logan Webb threw more changeups than any pitch in his first start of the season, which is a little surprising. You don't typically throw more changeups than fastballs. The problem was that the Mariners were on the pitch. They had 6 hits against it. This is a pitch that's supposed to be really effective for him, and it wasn't in that start against Seattle. He also had an 0-2 count on 11 guys and gave up 4 hits and a walk. That's a bit much. He's got to be finishing those guys off. I would watch, can he finish the Rocky hitters off today? That would be what I would watch from him.
Mm-hmm. And Chichi?
Chichi Gonzalez has had 2 appearances this year. First one, he threw like 30% fastball. Second one, he threw like 95% fastball. So who knows what you're going to get from him. Problem for him is control. He's all over the place for the most part. 57% first pitch strike rate. That's not good. That's among the worst that you're going to see. And he doesn't miss bats. And as I said, I think the fact that they feel the need to pitch him shows you where the Rockies are at this point in time.
Boy, great, great stuff, Mark. I appreciate it. This is a good weekend of baseball. We got Jackie Robinson Day coming up. Yaz, the elder Yaz, the grandpa, got his first hit today. So a good weekend of baseball, and love having you on, and look forward to talking to you next week.
You got it.
All right, that is Mark Simon. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark at sportsinfosolutions.com. All right, Bill Lasky is going to come back next, talk to Adam Copeland, and Bill's going to take you the rest of the way into the booth and the Diamond Notes, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. So more coming up right now on KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.